All right, good morning, men of New Life Assembly. We're going to, first I'll just give the topic real quick, and then I'll pray, and then we'll get into it here. The topic of today is something that the Lord, you know, laid on my heart a couple weeks ago, and it's going to be called Subtle Arguments Against Prayer, Subtle Arguments Against Prayer, or arguments that are used by Christians to belittle or dismiss the need for prayer. So we'll pray and we'll get started. So Father God, we just thank you for this morning. Thank you for getting us up this morning. Lord, I do pray, speak through me. Lord, help me to be not bound by my notes, Lord. Show me what areas you want me to hit on, Lord. There's some other stuff you want me to speak on, Lord. I just pray, help me to be open, Lord. And just pray for receptive ears as well, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. So, subtle arguments against prayer. It is going to be a little more topical today, a little more technical. The issue of the subtle arguments, when obviously a Christian cannot blatantly say that they're against prayer. You know, they can't blatantly say that. And they may not even necessarily be like aware in their heart that they have a dislike towards prayer. But whenever they use any of these arguments I'm going to talk about, it's always backed by scripture, you know, but it's a misinterpretation of scripture that is very obviously that doesn't want any kind of intimacy with God. And the reason why I want to share this, number one, if you're dealing with others, you could be dealing with others who don't, other believers who just don't have a heart for prayer, and they'll bring up some kind of thing, you know. Or it can, these things may arise in ourselves. These things may very well arise in ourselves, and we may be kind of all of a sudden, you know, have this kind of heart towards prayer that, again, shows a very kind of a hollowness, you know. So the order I'm going to give the false argument, maybe a couple variants, give the scripture that's being misinterpreted. Then I'm going to give the correct interpretation with a couple things that, you know, the Lord laid on my heart with those things. So the question, what is prayer? I mean, what is prayer? I'll even a simple question even for this morning, if anyone wants to answer, what is prayer? Let's kind of give a little interaction, even though it's
communicating with God.
Yeah.
Making request of God, sitting with God. I would think that's pretty fair.
Exactly, yeah. Communication, conversation with God. You can speak with all persons of the Trinity, Father, Jesus, the Son, the Holy Spirit. I want to emphasize this definition with prayer, too. The aspect that you're speaking and you're hearing from God. So there's an aspect to where it's not just you're just talking to a wall. You know, you're not just talking to just the air. There's an aspect to where you're listening, too. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known for God. The aspect of there's the prayer, which is the state of prayer where you're like listening and you're receiving the words of God to your heart, and also the supplication aspect to where you're talking to God, you know. Prayer is done in faith, James 1:6. It's not done just with repetition and just kind of a your own mind. Is done actually in faith, a practice of faith, and it's done in the name of Jesus, John 16:23. And also another, just one thing I want to put in, there's a lot of things we can talk about with prayer. And in God's house, Jesus says it's supposed to be a house of prayer in Mark 11:17. So that the people of God, the church of God, one of the markers is that it's supposed to be this place where there's this communication with God going on. And is hearing from God, too. I remember there was those aspects where I was out with a friend once, and I was praying for an evangelism opportunity, and I was in Chicago. And all of a sudden, like right there, like a couple minutes, there was an opportunity that opened up just out of nowhere, you know. And the guy even noticed, like, man, the Lord answered your prayer right there, right there. So there's this aspect of the people of God, the house of God, where there's this communication. You know, you're talking to God, but also he's answering your prayer and he's speaking back to you too. A lot of times we get in the way with that, but we'll get into that in the future.
I'm just taking notes.
Oh, yeah, no problem. So first argument against prayer, and again, all these things are very subtle. When number one, prayer does not replace obedience. In the scripture that's used to try and argue that, Proverbs 28:29, whoever turns his ear away from hearing the law, even his prayer is detestable. So the argument is that prayer is useless if you do not obey the Lord. And if you do not follow, if you're not actually practicing, obedience, there's nothing there. Also, there's the reason why this argument is, I think, is put forth by people who don't like prayer, is that because there is an actual lack of repentance in the American church. And there's a blatant sin going on and just repeated sin in the American church. So this is kind of brought up to kind of like counter that. Well, it's like, well, you know, we can't, you know, we got to obey the Lord. We can't just be sitting around, you know, praying. We got to actually...
Right, it works hand in hand.
Yeah, exactly. And all these, again, it's true. There is a lack of repentance in the church, and there is a need for obedience. But that doesn't justify the lack of prayer.
Yep.
You know, prayer does not replace obedience, but obedience does not replace prayer. So, number one, and there's a couple things to keep in mind here. Your intimacy with the Lord actually protects you from temptation. So, yes, you have to, you know, your obedience is connected with prayer. But I'll give the verse here. Mark 14:38, Jesus said, "Watch ye and pray, lest you enter into temptation." So there's an aspect where Jesus is saying that actually protects you from temptation. When you watch, you have to keep your spiritual eyes open, for one thing. But also when you pray, when you have that relationship with the Lord, and that, again, it's all in the spirit, not you know, in the flesh. When you have this relationship with the Lord, it actually buffers you and protects you against the darts and the temptations of Satan. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just you just doing it in your own, you know, like, resisting temptation in your own strength, in your own mind. Number two, prayer, and it goes in line with the sanctification part of obedience. Prayer actually helps to transform you, and actually helps in your sanctification process.
Yeah.
So that actually helps you to obey. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all with an unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. So we behold, so in prayer, what we're doing too, we're actually beholding the Lord. We're actually putting our face, we're turning our eyes from the worldly things and this temporal life, and we're actually turning our eyes unto the Lord, and we're beholding the Lord. And when we do that, it says that we're actually being transformed into the image of even Jesus, where we're actually being transformed. So there's an aspect of sanctification even in prayer. And scripture too, scripture talks about how when we read the word, there's a verse, I didn't write the verse down, but that actually transforms us too, when we take in the scripture and it alters our thinking. But there's that need to behold the Lord in order to be transformed to obey.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be transformed in your own effort. This obedience is not you just kind of running around, you know, just kind of, and me as a, you know, I was a youth leader, you know, years ago, and also I was a, you know, Christian school teacher. And one of the things that I saw was, especially when you get into like the younger kids, well, or the teenagers and stuff, is they get saved. And a lot of times they're following the Lord, but they're trying to follow the Lord in their own effort. You know, they're not beholding the Lord and allowing him to transform them into the image of Jesus. So again, there's a need for prayer does help you to obey. Number two, the second subtle argument against prayer that a lot of Christians will use, you don't need to be led by the Spirit in order to witness, and led by the Spirit in the context of hearing from God. So you don't need to be hear from God in order to witness or evangelize. And the scripture that's used for this is Mark 16:15. And he, Jesus, said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So the reasoning is this. The reasoning is that, well, you already have the command to preach the gospel from Jesus himself. So therefore, why do you need to feel led to witness? You know, you already have a command from Jesus, so you don't need to feel. And also, there's this dismissing as the hearing the voice of God as just a feeling. Well, it's just a feeling. You don't need to have a feeling. And when there is prayer, let's say you do, there is an aspect of prayer before evangelism or witnessing. A lot of times it's this token prayer before evangelism. It's almost I know I'm just gonna laugh at this, but it's almost as if the prayer is treated as like a power up right before you go evangelize, kind of like the super mushroom from Super Mario.
Yeah.
You know, the super mushroom. You kind of get the super mushroom right before you go out and evangelize. So it's treated as a means to an end instead of the end itself. Like it's something to get to evangelism or witness, or any Christian activity. Let's break it down to really any Christian activity. But in this context, witnessing. Again, with this argument, don't need to be led by a spirit. True. Just true. True. You don't need to feel anything in order to witness. You don't need to, you know, you are just supposed to witness and spread the gospel. And there is, yes, a neglect of witnessing among American Christians. But that neglect of witnessing does not neglect the need to be sensitive and to have that leading of the Holy, of the Spirit.
Might I throw something in?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to take it from your notes.
Yeah.
But here's the point. The lack of witnessing, mostly our cure is tell you to go out, just go out.
Yeah.
Is it possible that an intimacy life with Jesus and spending time with him would instill the heart that would drive you to the streets?
Actually, I was gonna end with that. Sorry. No problem.
So we try to cure it, still ignoring that we're to be a prayed up, submersed in the Spirit people with intimacy. We substitute it with a pragmatic do list. And the truth is, people's hearts we still don't go out as we're supposed to.
Right.
We avoid prayer. We do something that we do it in a way we could do it with or without God, which prayer is a dependency on God.
Right, yeah, right. We'll get into that in a second.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, we'll get into that in a second.
No problem.
So reality of, this argument of you don't need to be led or hear, really, aspect. Led, it's all terms used to describe hearing from the Lord, really. This whole argument is used oftentimes to neglect the aspect of listening to God. It's really to justify spiritual laziness, really.
Wow.
And a disbelief in a lack of faith in the voice of God. At least that's what I find. I think it's not used to hey, we need to go witnessing. Really, the person, the believer who says that doesn't really believe in the voice of God. In Acts, you see that Christians are actually led a lot in Acts, actually. If you look between the lines, and even obviously, Christians are led a lot. You have Ananias who helps Paul, who was blinded on the road to Damascus. He had a dream come to him, I believe it was a dream. And the Lord spoke to him and had a whole conversation, saying, he's like, "Lord, I don't want to go." And the Lord's like, "No, go help out Paul,"
Yeah.
That's a whole conversation. That's a form of, communicating with the Lord. You have Philip, who's led to the Ethiopian eunuch. And then you have that whole supernatural thing where he's spirited, away and taken away. All those aspects to where the Lord is leading people. And you have it where, too, yes, Peter is in his daily life. He's, kind of going around and witnessing to people. But you also have, too, Acts. There's times in Acts to where the Lord tells them not to go to certain places.
Yep.
So it's not just the aspect of where a free-for-all to where a person's just going anywhere. There's actual lead. Acts 16:6, the Holy Spirit had prevented them from speaking the word in a province of Asia. Acts 16:6. We're kind of bouncing around.
No, that's fine. I'm just,
you know, because of the topical nature of it. The Holy Spirit actually prevents the church from going to a particular area. Now, I can imagine someone even who's more, who doesn't necessarily have a heart for prayer, they could be like, oh, you know, you just don't want to go maybe because you're not bold enough, or you just don't want to go there or something. Yeah, well, no, there's an actual aspect to where they're leading. You know, they have to be sensitive to where you're going. And this goes back into line to where this, you know, what Pastor Mike, kind of jumping fast forwarding here for me, no problem. But is the issue Christians not sharing their faith, or is the issue that their heart isn't right before the Lord? Is the issue that the heart stance is not really ready to actually be sharing the gospel? And there's not this intimacy to where they're led where they're supposed to be going. Not that we have to, you know, continually go and just run around everywhere to speak the gospel. So that's the second one. So you got the first one here. Prayer does not replace obedience. That's not, we went through that. And also this aspect too of you don't need to be led. You do need to be led by the Spirit to witness. And obedience does not replace prayer. So the third one, the last one here, in the context of prayer, you can't sit around and do nothing. And tied to varying is we need to be doing something, even if this something is wrong, or even if it's, we need to be doing something for the Lord. You know, we need to be doing something. We can't just sit around doing nothing. Also, this variant too, that nothing is going on right now, so we need to be doing. So all those are variant of the same thing, you know, that we need to be doing something. We can't just be sitting around praying all the time. That's nothing, you know. The reasoning, the verse that's used, there's a couple verses that's used, but I'll just use Matthew 24:46, which we talked about not too long ago. Parable of Jesus. Blessed is the servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. So that's the justification that's used for. And this goes into activity. You guys know I talk about activity, you know, every so often, you know, just as spirit of activity. The reasoning is that we need to be about our Father's business. So we need to be doing something. In prayer, is dismissed as doing nothing. So think about this. It's dismissed as doing nothing. Sorry, there was something I was trying to make sure I get the right answer to here. The context of this, let's look at the context of this parable here. The context of the parable here, the faithful servant, the master Jesus, he's giving the task out to the various servants. So it's the prayer. So the servant is not just going around doing nothing. He's actually listening and hearing and getting his tasks from Jesus.
Yes.
So the question here is, well, how do we get our tasks? Number one, we get our tasks from, you know, the scripture. Obviously, we get the scripture does give our tasks that we're supposed to do, you know. But number two, we get our tasks from hearing Jesus. As one of his sheep, we know his voice. John 10:27, you know, talks about that whole thing. I want you to also note here the state of heart that says, you know, we can't just sit around doing nothing. You know, we need to be doing something, you know, even if it's, you know, whatever, we need to be doing something. And this whole, this dismissal as of prayer, you know, as nothing. Note the state of heart. The Christian, when they do that, they're putting the category of sitting with your heavenly Father and the Creator of the universe, you know.
Yeah, as idleness.
As idleness. Yep. They're think about that. Think about the one who created the universe, or actually created you, who knows you better than you know yourself. They're just dismissing that. Oh, that's nothing. That's nothing. A complete inability to discern the heart of God and discern. And I think that's where it's, they're dismissing prayer as just another activity, besides, instead of it being an actual relationship. I know a lot of times, I know that's emphasized in the modern church, you can have a relationship with God, you know, and it's used to justify bad things. But the truth of that is that, well, you do have a relationship with the Lord, and that keeps you from different things. Check this out, too. Psalms 10:4 says, "The wicked do not seek him." Now, there is an aspect of where, you know, there's in that verse, if you read, it goes and continues into an atheism. But also that verse talks about pride, too. So if a person does not seek the Lord, there's an aspect of wickedness, even, you can say, even among the believer. But also there's an aspect of pride, too, to where if you read the whole verse, it goes into pride, actually, which I should have probably wrote the whole verse down. Psalm 10:4, if you guys want to, in your own time. There's a self-sufficiency there. Prayer is not just sitting around doing nothing. You actually are doing something. Actually, you're doing something that's the foundation of all the other things. Is you connecting with the Lord. I do want to read this quick post. I'll just read a little bit of the post, but I'll send, if anyone wants the post, I'll send it. You know, I'll send it to them so they can, it's a large post. But this is one post that I had from someone on my social media, which I don't normally do, but I do want to share with you. The Lord dropped this in my spirit. He said, many people want to be out doing ministry because they believe that by doing them, ministry with God, that they're more pleased with them and looking more at them being more righteous. And God is more pleased with them, looking at them being more righteous. They are scared to rest because they feel like their righteousness and resting at his feet and abiding in him alone isn't what's going to save them. We know the gospel has to be preached. People have to hear, but we must understand it is a season. You must be still and at his feet, learning, concentrating, listening, and being filled to make sure your heart is right before the Lord, before God yourself. I'll send the post out to a couple of you guys because it goes into some more things in the issue of Mary and Martha. We're not going to necessarily go into all that. But what he was talking, now obviously the gospel needs to be preached. This is not justifying being lazy with preaching the gospel and speaking to people. And a lot of times someone may say that, oh, you're saying we shouldn't be preaching that. It's like these straw man arguments, you know, it's like,
That's good.
You know, it's like, well, no, I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. I'm saying that there's an aspect of
connecting. The way we should do it.
Yes, exactly. The heart of something.
Yeah, that's it.
It's the heart of something.
What is necessary to get that action done?
Yeah. I think a lot of times we forget about the heart of something, that the Lord is concerned about the heart of why we do things and how we do things, you know, versus just doing them, you know. So a couple ending thoughts here, because I really want to get to this. I really want to get to this aspect too. I don't want to drag on too long for this men's meeting. You have all these false religious arguments against prayer, and there's a bunch more I could have brought up too. Again, prayer is treated as another work, another activity. And when you do that, you can dismiss it. You can kind of neglect it. You can kind of put it in the corner. It's not used, it's not thought of in the context of you're having a relationship with the Lord and you need to speak and hear from him. All these subtle arguments against, and all these subtle, notice all these arguments, they're all said with, whenever I heard someone say these kind of things from different people or whatever, it's always said with passion and with fire. It's always said like this, you know, no Christian's going to openly say these things, and they're going to say it like with, you know, they're always said with passion, and even just the end, the whole issue of like passion language and like Christian language and knowing the right things to say. There was one time where, and I'm not going to say this person's name, but there was this preacher I knew years ago who none of you have ever met him. And this is my first, I'll end with my first encounter with passion language. My very first encounter, you know, when I was a young Christian, I was only like a couple of years in the Lord. And it was this young preacher who I used to go to my youth rallies back at my old church. And he'd always speak with fire. He'd always speak with this, you know, this, oh, you God, we gotta do this with Lord. Some of you guys don't know. And it was always something like a little off, but I was just like, you know, what? Okay, I'm young. I don't know what's going on, you know. But then he got caught up into this situation that showed that he had no discernment. You know, he got caught up into this situation which showed that he was very, you know, spiritually, like, ignorant. It was, I'll just leave it at this, that it was a very shameful thing that he got involved in. And it showed he had no discernment.
Yeah.
And then a couple weeks later, they allowed him to go and preach a little more. Because it wasn't enough to where they could, you know, just like ban him. It just showed he didn't have no discernment. But it was very shameful. They let this guy speak again at the youth rally, like a couple times before he eventually you know, disappeared. And I was like, you would think that at that point he would no longer have like this passion language, like, oh, we gotta be, you know, this whole like fire. And it's not, we, you know, no. You know, he spoke again and he still had this passion language and he still had this fiery, like, we gotta do this for the Lord. We got, now I was thinking in my mind, like, wouldn't you be more humble at this point? Wouldn't you be more humble? Yeah. You know, yeah. You would think that he would. It was just pride. It was all just pride. It wasn't actually him having a heart and passion for the Lord. It was just all himself. And it just shows you how fiery language and this whole passion language, and it's like, well, we got to do this. We got to do this for the Lord. We got to go out and do this. How a lot of times that can be used to mask things that aren't real, you know. And of course, you know, you do have, you know, fire and brimstone preaching, which is of the Lord. You do have fiery speech and stuff, which does, you know, sinners in the hands of an angry God. You know, that was actually a sermon years ago from a preacher, and like dozens of people got saved from that sermon, you know, and it was a very fiery sermon. That actually had the heart of God versus someone who is just, you know, having this passion language. And they don't, it's not actually moving anything to the Lord.
Yeah.
But what's the difference? That person had an intimacy with the Lord, that the sinners in the hand of an angry God.
Yeah.
So just to end here, just to end with the verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, the need to pray without ceasing, the aspect to where you're in continual communication with the Lord. That practicing the presence of God. If you guys want to ever read that book, I'm sure it's online somewhere. The need for us to not necessarily, you know, just be like, the need for us to practice the presence of the Lord. The Lord is always with us, and to be in that constant communication with the Lord and to not dismiss it as another activity. So that's my ending thoughts for you guys. Any other thoughts from anyone, feel free to add on, you know, to add on, and to, we all need to definitely get more of a depth in our prayer, just to end with that. So
no, I mean, that's so full and rich that I would only echo what you're saying. And it's interesting because the American church, you know, finds itself in a quandary where we do things. Like you said, we bypass the most crucial thing. Every revivalist, every, like Finney, the Welsh revivals, the first thing that begins to happen with God's people when he revives them, prayer begins. It becomes renewed. It becomes two-way. It becomes the axle that everything turns on.
Yeah, right.
And that's why Jesus said, my house is to be called a house of prayer. Now we're a house of disseminating information more than we are of prayer. And there's an arrogance, but you're right. And it's interesting because people use truth to undo truth. And I like what you said about the power-up thing. A lot of times our actions, we do them to placate. It's almost like a sin, meaning we're called to be people of real prayer, not this token stuff. But we throw prayer in before because it's like you got to check it off your list. But really, prayer is, you, like you said, communicating, listening, truly being released and empowered. And a lot of times, even those arguments for people say, you can't just sit there, you're absolutely right. But I've had a lot of arguments through the years when I've seen leaders fight against the mandate call for prayer for the church. I'm talking real prayer, not the token stuff. If a church will never be greater than its prayer life.
Yeah, yeah.
A group, I don't care who they are, they will never be greater than their prayer life, both independently and corporately. And the American church is so wrapped in intellectualism, there needs to be an awakening of its real call, and that is first to the closet of prayer. And they need to quit pretending like they got that down and move on to the next. Because really, God's not going to let it. It's not going to be blessed. But there is a, I see a renewal. And all these great men, they were men. But most importantly, Jesus, he went away and spent the whole night in prayer to God. Ask yourself, in your entire life, when have you been led to that? And most of us say, I haven't. But we're sons of God. How can that be as we are sons of God? But that's excellent. No, you close us. That's awesome. You really inspired. It's good. It's really
definitely
good.
And we can literally go on really for a while, good. You know, but we'll just leave it at that for now, you know.
Might I add this, though?
Yeah.
When we truly embrace and become the prayer people we need, God will launch us out all kinds of ways in activity. There's plenty he will move you to do when you really connect in prayer, and I've been there, I know. But there's plenty you can think of yourself to do when you refuse that mandate. So we get a lot of us can operate on, we want power, but we don't want the prayer life needed for it. So it's interesting. We're going to get it. I do. I believe that. I believe we're going to get it. I believe God's faithful. He'll deal with us and bring us to that point. But yes. Anyway, that's good. So you can...
Yeah, I'll end us with a prayer. So, Father God, we just lift up today, Lord. Lord, we pray, help us to get the heart of prayer, the heart of, again, speaking with you, Lord, and listening to you, Lord. Lord, help us to really get a hold of that, Lord. We can actually speak to the creator of the universe, Lord. Lord, through your Son, through the blood, we have access to your throne, Lord. So help us to not forget about that, Lord. Lord, help us to speak from your heart, Lord. Lord, to really connect with you, Lord. And just pray a blessing over everyone's day. I know I'm going to be doing some traveling around here. For everyone else, Lord, just pray. Lord, help us to practice your presence, even as Brother Lawrence, to be able to, as we're doing even mundane things, Lord, to know that you're in the mix, Lord. So we just lift this up and prepare us for tomorrow, Lord. Prepare us for the things you have for us tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen.